How could that music not put you in a great mood? The ultimate stage mother is making her presence known at Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York. Gypsy, a musical fable, features classic Broadway beltables like Everything's Coming Up Roses, Some People, and Roses Turn. The show opened on Broadway in 1959, features a book by the late Arthur Lawrence, music by the late Jules Stein, and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim. That is a trifecta. This production at Cap Rep runs through Sunday, April 13th. Mary Callanan plays Mama Rose. She recently appeared in Annie on Broadway and has performed in tours of Mamma Mia, The Sound of Music, Big Damn Yankees, and Cinderella. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Mary Callanan
to the
program. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you on the program. You know, I was watching some video of you doing this role, and it seems as if, well, I don't know. Maybe, well, I'll ask you, like, born to play it, right? I mean, it would seem, for given your talents and given who you are, that eventually in your musical life, you were going to do this.
I was hoping it would be a fait accompli, and you're right. I've been waiting, and here it is. The day has arrived.
What is it about the role that is so great, that there's something that you would aspire to?
Well, first and foremost, as you said, they are beltable tunes.
Yeah.
And as you can hear from my voice, they are in fact beltable. The score is absolutely, for me, as a belter, it's the best there is. It never gets any better than that. As far as the role, when you're a character actress and a comic, you don't usually, roles like this don't come your way. So when one does everything one can to achieve this goal.
Yes.
So I waited a long time. I've played a lot of roles like this, like Mrs. Lovett, but this one, far and away, takes the cake.
You know, one of the things I didn't realize until reading about this particular production, because I always knew it as Gypsy. I never knew it as Gypsy, a music fable.
It's based upon Gypsy Rose Lee's memoir.
Yes.
And she fabricated her own life story for that first book.
Right.
And there have since been other books that color her real story. So it makes sense that she fabulized it. It's a very interesting telling. It is from Gypsy Rose Lee's point of view. And certainly her mother did some amazingly difficult, she made some amazingly difficult decisions in her life. But in the 20s, if you were a single woman with children in that business, in the business of vaudeville, you had to make some tough decisions. And when, as we say even today, when men do it, it's chutzpah. When women do it, it's not.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, her mother made some maybe not the best decisions, parenting decisions. So she is colored as the, you know, person zero for stage mothers. But it makes for a heck of a show.
It sure does make for a heck of a show. You know, and so much is on. And look, I don't want to downplay the rest of the cast. It's an amazing cast.
It absolutely is an amazing cast.
An incredible group of people. But when you look at this show throughout its history, I mean, really, it's resting on the shoulders of the person playing Mama Rose.
Well, it was written as a star vehicle for Ethel Merman.
Yeah.
So it is very much pointed in one direction.
Yeah. So what is that like for you to have that kind of on your shoulders?
I think it's an honor. I never get to, as I like to call it, drive the bus. Usually I am someone's best friend or the funny person that's two or three people down in the cast.
The funny neighbor.
I'm the funny next door neighbor. But this show, it's a dream. And the people that are on the bus with me make it even better. It makes for a much more scenic drive with Bob Walton as Herbie and Kelsey Crouch as Louise or Gypsy, however you want to refer to her, and right down to the children that play their younger selves. Everybody is spot on, and it's so much fun because everybody's carrying their own weight, so that when I carry mine, it just goes a little bit further. So it's fun.
It's been a lot of years, of course, but can you get away from Merman? I mean, is it possible to?
I hope so. I'm not that old, Joe, so I never saw Merman, but thanks for that.
Nor have I, but every time
I heard it, when you
think of or learn about Ethel Merman, certainly in musical theater.
And you can hear it, and you've certainly seen clips of her in her act do the song. I think I bring myself to this part.
Yeah.
Again, I like to think of the character as Rose, as a woman who made some really life and death parenting choices. And as any parent would tell you, even though you believe in it 100%, it might not have been the best decision for your child.
Mm.
So, you know, she is always portrayed. One would think she was a monster. Or she's just a woman who made some really tough choices. And in my telling of this story, I like to show you that all decisions have consequences.
Right.
So you can hate me, but you're going to see why I did it.
And again, it's still ultimately there are these decisions, there are these challenges, there are these stories, but it comes down to this incredible music and this incredible score, and which is just perfection.
There's nothing better.
There's not a bad track on that soundtrack.
No, there really isn't.
Yeah.
And so it's even the songs that I'm not involved in, and there aren't that many. They're beautiful. Or they're incredibly funny and well-timed and, you know, perfectly performed.
You know, I asked you the question about Merman, and it made me think of, we had, in the very seat you're sitting in, we had Carol Channing. And talking about...
How wonderful.
Talking about Hello, Dolly. And, mm-hmm. and I said, you know, I've often asked actresses of who've been playing that role of what it is like to go into a role that has been played by somebody like Carol Channing. And I remember her saying that, you know, she could understand that there's a popularity that comes with it, and there is almost a caricature that comes from that, and yet she really hoped that for any performer that they didn't lose the fact that it was their role, that they were the character, and it was their interpretation. And it seems as though you very much have that.
Yes, I'm a big fan of not trying to watch someone else's performance.
Yeah.
There are certainly enough clips of Miss Lapone and Miss Peters and Miss Daly and anyone that's played these parts before
Ben
me.
Miller, right?
And then Merman, of course. But yeah. I want to tell the. It's taken me so long to tell this story. I want to tell it the way I want to tell it. And of course, within the confines of the direction of the particular piece that we're in.
I don't know why there's something about this show, and I guess maybe it is the beltables that come into it. But that moment where it's you, you're on stage, the spotlight is shining down, it's illuminating your body, and you just let it go.
Yep,
that's cool.
It has been quite a process for me to, as you say, let it go. Because it's not usually, quote, about me. It's usually about somebody else. So that's been a challenge for me. If this was my club act, I'm perfectly comfortable doing that with a corded microphone in a beaded dress. That's fine. But these opening up your heart and letting your guts spill out all over the stage while you're singing a song everybody knows in a way that you may never have heard it, Everything's Coming Up Roses, is, in point of fact, in the telling of this show, not a very happy moment for the other people on stage. And there are other... I am living my life. I am screaming and spewing all this gospel, and Herbie and Louise are on stage, and they're having to take it. And so that's very difficult for me because it is... There's so much, once you start singing that song and you live in the song, you can't turn back. There are no brakes on the car. You're just careening down the hill and you're spilling it on another person. It's quite a monstrous thing.
So how are you directed through that?
Basically just let yourself go. I mean,
yeah.
at Maggie Mancinelli Cahill, who's the director of our show and the artistic director of the Caperet.
And wonderful.
And wonderful. Said, you know what this is. You know, I'll tell you where to stand so that we can light you. But you know how to tell this story. So just go ahead and, you know, hold on, buckle up. So that's what I do.
Yeah. Because it, when it's such a large personality, and I guess, as you mentioned, there's other people on the stage, but it's one of those things where you take over, and if everything's going right, they're looking at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stop telling me that.
No,
but it's
true. Sorry. Well, no, but
no,
but,
and it's fine. And at this
thrilling.
Point in the game, it is. It is thrilling when I think I hit the ball well, when it's a clean shot. It feels really good.
Yeah.
So it does.
Do you know that right away if it's a clean shot? Do you look at it?
Yeah.
And I guess I ask that, is it a clean shot per song, per number, or does that come at the end of a performance where you make that assessment?
In this particular production, because I'm rarely off stage.
Yeah.
I don't have time for those kind of thoughts. But at the end of an act or at the end of the largest number in the show, which is for me, is the last number of the show. When that's done, I think, okay, I hope that one went over. And it, you know, usually,
yeah.
Hopefully it does. But I don't try to think of those things while we're doing it.
Well, no, no.
But,
you want to get in your head, obviously. But
yeah.
But
it's very crowded with lyrics in there, so I can't stop to think, what else is going on? Does my hair look all right? Oh, I hope my eyelashes stay on. No. I hope I'm in my key light. God, I hope that guy in the third row stops unwrapping his candy. So stuff like that is the only thing that will make me stop doing what I'm doing. Like, stop unwrapping your candy, people, please.
Yeah, turn off the phone. Just
we haven't had that yet. Everyone,
oh, good.
Everyone keeps making. There's a famous story about Patty
LuPone.
Yeah,
I'm not
that.
Great audio on that one, boy.
I'm not that guy, but just save yourselves and turn your phones off when you come, because I could be that guy. Just save yourselves. When the voiceover says, please unwrap your candy and turn off their phones, he's not kidding, because it could happen.
You know, and people criticized her for that, and which I thought was, wow, really? It was very daring. But my God, with you in that role, can you imagine being distracted?
Well, I was. I have been distracted since this play opened. And it's such a, I have such a tenuous hold on it. Or certainly last week when we were in previews, that somebody did do something incredibly distracting, and I almost lost my way.
Yeah.
And it's one of those scenes. I have a couple of scenes with Herbie and Louise where I talk for 3 pages and nobody else talks. And if you derail me, or I'll put it on myself, if I derail myself because of something that's distracting me, and the show will come to a close, because if I go up, as we say, and forget where I am, that's absolutely terrifying, because they can't,
right.
They don't know what I'm going to say, so they can't help me.
There is no net.
Yeah.
At
so
that point.
I didn't used to, I mean, I heard that Miss LuPone is Miss LuPone for a reason, but I get now why that happened. If someone took a flash photo of me in the middle of Rose's turn, and I mean, I wouldn't fall off the stage at the Caperet, but if she, that could happen.
Yeah.
So she's just mad, because it was the third or fourth one. She let the first couple of ones go.
Sure.
So, you know, if you don't make her mad.
No,
boys and girls,
no,
don't
no,
make the lady
there's
mad.
No, there's no reason to do that. And certainly, so you were last on Broadway with Annie?
Annie on Broadway, yes.
Yeah, this is the last.
The one we just had that closed in January.
Yes. That's great. And you were?
I was Mrs. Pugh, and then I got to go on for Miss Hannigan a couple of times, and that was really fun.
That's great. And you got to work with both Jane Lynch and
Katie Finneran, Faith Prince, Anthony Warlow.
Pretty good group.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that show. It was an awful lot of fun. I thought they did a great job on
and
it.
And just to play the palace would be a nice way to start one's Broadway career.
Yeah.
So that was very nice.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Mary Callanan is playing Mama Rose at the Capitol Rep Theater in the production of Gypsy. It runs in downtown Albany through April 13th. So there is time, but do it quickly. Through April 13th, and you can find out more information. We have all the links and all of the stuff you need to know at our website, wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. Again, Mary Callanan playing Mama Rose in Cap Rep's production of Gypsy, now through April 13th. Mary, a delight to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed our discussion. Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.